Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Okay, so we're going to start our podcast on focusing.
Chapter 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Marvin Math.
Oh, man.
You're going to learn what Marvin Math is, why we do it, why you should do it, and then we're going to get into some of the nuances of, like, if you have a great dog and you're really happy with their overall behavior, if you have a mediocre dog and you're still really happy with your behavior, if you have problems you want to address, if you have goals that you want to level up and improve behavior, why Marvin Math is important, and the different things we do for each dog and depending on the problems that you're facing, or for each dog that you're keeping in a really good headspace.
So what you're saying is, I think you don't always have to settle for what you have, even though you're okay. You could get better with this math.
I think it's important. Everyone knows they could get better, but I think it's also really important to know that we're going to talk about a couple different people. I'm going to talk about Irene and Libby.
Ooh,
we're
going to
talk about Jody and Rio, Mariah and Ryder, Coda and Heather, some clients. We'll talk a little bit about different dogs. But first, I want to go over what Marvin Math entails, what the spreadsheet is, and then we're going to get into some specifics in each category.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, questions that we ask people, usually we get into Marvin Math if you have behavioral rehab needed. If you've done training and you're struggling, we really get into Marvin Math. Which I want to address something. The reason we don't get into Marvin Math right when you do training is because not everyone needs such a strict diet because they don't have such...
And we might not have enough tissues.
Inconsistency. It really has a lot to do with the people. So if you've done training and you come back and you're still working on some things, we're really diving into, like, managing your time in a day and what you're doing with your dog. So... Marvin Math is how many hours are you awake and how many hours is your dog awake? Most people are 15, 16 hours. How many hours is your dog in a crate or a kennel? How many hours is your dog on place? How many hours of exercise? And we go over the type. And then if you're unhappy with the dog's behavior or you're having any behavioral problems, we have bonus questions. Is the dog on the bed? Yes or no question. This is so hard for people to answer as a yes or no question because they'll say, my dog's only on the bed for like 5 minutes in the morning and then they jump off. Or my dog's only on the bed for 5 minutes at night and then they jump off and get in their crate. But if your dog's on the bed and they're showing signs of possessing you or reactivity, sometimes the bed, the couch, all the spoiling is the first thing that we get into. So bed, on the bed, yes or no question, humans bed. On furniture, couches, yes or no question. Toys, free access. Do they have free access to toys all day? And treats includes pup cups, bacon, leftover dinner, scrambled eggs, treats out of a cookie jar, any food outside of their diet that they eat on a regular basis. So let's go over each of those things. We'll start with how many hours are you awake? Why do you ask someone how many hours their dog is awake?
Why do I ask them?
Yeah.
You know, it helps so much in determining how much exercise your dog might need, how stable your dog could be. Or for me, how many hours your dog is awake is to try to actually figure out what your dog does. Let's say your dog's up 15 hours, which is pretty common, I think.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
But what is your dog doing for those 15 hours? Is he having to follow you all day?
Usually you know? That question is really eye-opening to people.
It is.
Because they don't think, oh, wow, my dog...
Because like me, I tell people...
does whatever for 16 hours a day.
Could you imagine if Jody had to keep up with me for 16 hours a day?
I can imagine what it would be like, yeah.
She wouldn't be very stable at the end of the day.
I can imagine that.
And so that's kind of the way your dog is. If he has to keep up with you for 15... which most dogs do that end up here for training... they got to keep up with that owner for 15 hours. Are they in the bathroom? Are they in the kitchen? Are they in the living room? Are they reading a book? Are they watching TV? Are they standing up? Are they sitting down? Are they getting something to drink? And
I really want to add in that sometimes people have this facade that my dog chills in the house. My dog's really lazy, lays around, sleeps all day, never gets into anything, never eats anything, never destroys things. The house is not our problem. The dog is really good, and it sleeps all day. Usually, we ask a few interviewing questions. One starting with, do they get up if the doorbell rings? Do they get up if the FedEx driver's in your front lawn? Do they get up if they hear something in the backyard? Do they get up if you go to the pantry? Do they get up if you go to the bathroom? Sometimes... the dogs really are so obsessed that they follow the owners everywhere and they wake up for everything. But sometimes people have this false sense of my dog really is relaxed in the house, except for they're not relaxed when the doorbell rings. They're not relaxed when I open the pantry door. They're not relaxed when I go to the bathroom. Sometimes it's just a few things that trigger them. And if those triggers are happening in a certain order, the dog's never getting a 3-hour nap. They're getting 10-minute naps, 30-minute naps, and constantly up and at them. And not really practicing an off switch.
And I think if you get home from work and your dog's doing backflips and cartwheels, which is why most people get a dog, you know, so they're super excited to see the dog. Dog's super excited to see the owner. But for me, when you come in and you can't control your dog, you really got issues to look at.
Yeah, if your dogs are obnoxious at the door.
And you can tell that here by people picking their dogs up, which dogs are like, okay, you're here to get me. Well, let's go.
And I'll just totally throw it out there. A majority of the people that want their dogs to be good approach their dog when they haven't seen him for a weekend.
To get him in trouble.
Hi, how are you? I missed you. Good boy. And then they flip to sit. No. Come here. I got to get your leash on. I got to do this. And yes. I used to, when I first started, God, it bothered me so bad. I would work so hard to get the dog to be really behaved and get them out there. But then I realized I do all that. And then you just take the leash and do it anyways. Like, why am I caring so much about your dog behaving at your greeting when I know every morning and night when you greet your dog, you're acting crazy. And then the dog is responding to that. And so many people don't do it intentionally, but you gas your dog up. And my husband does it all the time. Gasses him up. Hey, Scotty, you're a good boy. Yeah, yeah.
I never see that,
Brad. Scout jumps on him and then he's like, no. And I'm like, really? You know, like, well, you caused that and then correct it and it's not fair. So. Yes. Everyone does that unintentionally. No one says, I'm going to get my dog gassed up and crazy, and then I'm going to tell them they need to sit down and behave.
Yeah.
If you can learn to come inside neutral, that's pretty important. And all of these things with Marvin Math has everything to do with this. If your dog is in a crate when you get home, you can go get them out of the crate. You can check yourself. Okay, I'm going to get him out calmly. I'm going to put the leash on, have him sit, make him behave a little bit, and then take him out to go potty rather than coming in the door, having them right there at the door, jumping on you. You have 4 bags of groceries in your hand, and you're snapping your fingers and yelling at him.
Okay, what's next?
So if I want my dog to behave when I come home, what do I do?
Well, it's all the things you've done to prepare your dog to be
these things
you.
All tie into
yes,
it.
Yes, they all tie in, but you can't come home jumping up and down and screaming and hollering excited to see your dog, or else your dog's going to get in trouble. And you can, you know, once you're trained your dog.
Later.
And you have all of your ducks in a row, per se.
Yeah.
The sky's the kind of limit what you can do with your dog.
Yeah.
They can sleep on the bed. They can sleep on the couch. They can have their own recliner. You know, they can meet you at the door.
Yeah.
They can meet guests at the door.
And if you, oops, I gave too much too quickly, you can always go backwards.
Yeah, just back up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so how many hours are they awake? How many hours are they... We're going to talk about the crate. Well, we'll give the crate some attention in this podcast. How many hours are they in a crate or in a kennel? Would you count an outdoor kennel as kenneling time?
If we're being good and they're not out there barking and digging holes and chewing on the fence. Okay. And
what would qualify as them being good in an outdoor kennel?
Laying around, you know.
Chewing on a bone.
Most dogs that I'm aware of don't stand all day and watch. They lay around.
Right. Right. Relax.
And you can give them bones, whatever, you know, whatever toy you want to do. For me, the bone in the toy is not something to calm the dog down.
Okay.
It's something for a calm dog to do.
Right. You're just giving him something to do because you like to give him something to do. And it is good for him. Okay. So let's talk about the crate for a minute. If you don't use an outdoor kennel and the only way you den your dog up to sleep is in a crate... And you're doing this because your dog doesn't live a lifestyle where they truly sleep well throughout the day. You're in either you're rehabbing problem behaviors, you have goals to make a really nice dog, or you're wanting to level up, then you're using the crate a lot. It drives me crazy when, you say they need to be in the crate more. They need to be in the crate more. They need to be in the crate more. And it drives me crazy because of where people end up with that. We don't want any dogs to live in a crate.
Well, but I don't want a dog being in a crate because he's bad.
We don't want them to go in timeout for a crate?
No, I want them to be in a crate because they're sleeping. A good dog. They can go in there and they can relax.
Taking a nap.
And they don't care. I tell people the difference between... my dog being in a, let's say a 36 long by 24 inch wide by 36 inch tall crate, and your dog in your house that's, let's say, 1,600 square feet, let's say they got to be in there for 6 hours or 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
My dog can be in there relaxing, sleeping, and chilling. Where your dog in your 1,600 square foot house might be bouncing off the walls, eating stuff he shouldn't be eating, tearing up stuff, pacing, waiting for you to get home, bouncing off the front door when you come in, jumping all over you when you come in. Where my dog would be laying in his crate asleep, waiting for you to open the door, and then you might have to call him out.
Except for your dog doesn't need the crate to do that.
He don't. No. He don't, but if
he's
these
safe
people,
in a crate because we're going around with other dogs. But
if these people would train their dog that way, the way we teach, then most people wouldn't need their dog in a crate when they're home. They wouldn't need their dog in a crate at night, you know, because their dog would be relaxed enough that, like, he'll just go over there and sleep for 4 hours while you watch a movie.
Right.
And you can even get up and go to the bathroom, and he might just look at you and lay back down and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a dog, you know. That's not uncommon. But if your dog gets up and follows you, then you really got problems, you know.
And I would really say that if you kennel your dogs, if you travel a lot, your dogs should always be comfortable in a crate when you leave the house. And if you only crate them when you leave... sometimes that creates separation anxiety. So a crate nap is always good, even if your dog doesn't need it. And then as the dog is doing stellar and you're really happy with everything, the crate time can be much, much less. But we would never recommend totally throwing it away because the dogs usually really like having that time away.
Well, for sure. Especially for me, if you're traveling and, you know, it goes back to traveling. Your dog can lay in the back seat and be good while you're cruising down the road or the back floorboard or whatever you want to do. But if your dog can't be good,
then you should probably use a crate.
Well, you should get more training help.
Yeah.
And you should go back to more crate time.
Yeah. And you can have certain, it depends on how you live with your dog. Most people don't live this way. Hank, the golden retriever, they have a really nice outdoor kennel for him that's kind of a little bit away from the house. He loves going out there.
Oh, good.
He has some time away from the hustle and bustle of their family. They also have another small outdoor kennel that he can spend some time in when they need him to just be at rest while they're doing other things. And then he has a crate for at night. But because he has that kennel time during the day and he sometimes goes in the other little outdoor, I'm going to call it a pen, he doesn't need to go in the crate all day because he has time scheduled away from them. He's not addicted to following them around. He gets really good exercise. He's trained on. He's kept mentally stimulated. He gets to have a bone in his outdoor kennel. His overall relationship is really well balanced, and he's getting his needs as a dog. And then all the kids spoil on him and love on him, and things are great. They started with a puppy, though. So they got him on the right path, and he's allowed to have some bend in the schedule because they did everything.
But didn't we train on him a lot when he was a little puppy?
We did. That's what I'm saying. They got him as a puppy, and they started work and started training on him as a puppy.
Well, they started with us training on him a lot.
Okay.
And then they learned to go on with the program.
Yeah, but you don't have to train with us to have a good puppy.
You don't, but you've got to get good information.
For sure. For sure.
And that's what bothers me. There's so much bad information.
All of this structure can help you right from the get-go, even if you haven't worked with us. Jody. Jody's dog does not get free range of the house. So because there's been some space claimed that's not the dog's, Jody does not have to lock her dog up in a crate. She has a crate that she likes to go in. There's not even a door on it, I don't think.
No, the door's
She likes to go in it and lay down. Her bed's in there. She usually has something to chew on or a treat or something, and she goes in there. But she's got a boundary and is in, like, an entry mudroom area. And the door to the house is left open, but that's a boundary that Rio's been taught not to cross. And some space in the house is claimed.
Yeah,
so
she migrates in a little bit.
But you don't care. She's old. She doesn't migrate much far past the boundary. She's usually right in that doorway.
Well, we've just moved the boundaries.
Yeah, you've allowed it.
Yeah.
And she's not pushing or taking advantage of that. If you give her an inch, she doesn't take a mile. She gets plenty of exercise for her age. And she doesn't get walked on a leash and trained on sitting down. She gets fetch and she gets hikes around the property.
Yes.
She gets to ride in the car sometimes to go places. And then Jody spends quality time with her in a day. And there's not a whole lot of training happening, but the boundaries are set and they're stuck to. And there's rules that are set and they're stuck
but
to.
But Rio was trained as a young dog, a pup.
Correct. But I'm talking about now where Rio's at now.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So Rio doesn't have what we would say is solid Marvin math because it's not necessary. She doesn't need to level up her game. She doesn't need to change her training. She doesn't need rehab. She has a lot of freedom, but Jody at some point had a lot of structure for
her
and spent a lot of time training on her. And now she doesn't have to do any of it. That dog just lives free, right?
Yes.
But free in the house.
Most people's dogs can do the same.
Yes.
If they remember to train their dog and then do the other stuff. Whether you're getting a rescue dog or a puppy, it works the same.
But if you start free and you start loose on boundaries and you start low on structure and you start with very little training and you start with loads of affection and loads of time on the bed and loads of time on the couch and loads of toys and loads of treats, this is all going to go haywire.
Yeah,
you call Marvin. But there's so many different dogs. Like I would, can I just ask Irene a few questions?
For sure.
Irene, how much time does Libby spend in a crate in a day? Not on a day that she's here. There's no right or wrong answer.
Oh, I know. I'd say maybe an hour or two.
Yeah. So an hour or two in the crate, like nothing. And Libby
is here most of the time.
Right, but as you're at home, you don't have, like, a kennel schedule for her, right? Okay. And then do you exercise her a whole lot?
Run around in the backyard.
Okay. And then
feeds her a lot.
Yeah, she definitely gets treats from the kids, I'm sure, right?
Actually, is that right? No, they've gotten a lot better. The only time she gets
it. Yes or no day. Question, does she get treats?
No.
Yes or no? Does food? She, does she get human food?
Does she get stuff that's.
Does she get anything yes. outside of her dog
yeah,
food?
Stuff yes that they no drop question. On the ground.
Yeah. So okay. Does she sleep in the bed? Yes or no question?
Yes.
Does she get on the couch?
Yes.
Okay. And Libby sometimes has this like minor attitude with people, but Irene can control her.
Yes.
She never bites anyone.
And are you really happy with Libby?
Yeah, I should have asked that question. Yeah.
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 Are she you improve? Yes.
Okay, but I have a question about that. Do you care for her to improve, or are you happy where you're at?
I think where I would want her to improve is what you stated about the doorbells.
Uh-huh.
She's not the greatest, but that's me needing to be more mindful of.
So if you couldn't hear...
If I had the e-collar on her, and or like when you said people walking across, you know, outside, she gets...
Okay, so the perfect answer. That was like pop quiz, throwing Irene under the bus, but it was a perfect answer.
So you reword what she said.
So Irene's dog spends about an hour or two in the crate in a day. So pretty free range in the house.
Sleeps in the bed at night.
Gets droppings off the floor from food, human food. Sleeps in the bed at night, is allowed on the couch, barks at the doorbell, and then barks at happenings outside. So this would be something that if I asked Irene, Marvin asked Irene if she's happy with her overall behavior, and she is pretty happy, but she's in her mind going, oh yeah, I maybe would like to level up that and not have her barking at the doorbell or barking at
but that's at the people fun in the part. Yard.
Hang on, let me finish what I'm saying and then you can totally dive in. You can do Marvin math and make this a fast improvement and undo the bad habits and reshape better ones if you have really good Marvin math, because what she said was, if I was more prepared and more consistent with addressing it when it happens, then I could do it. But she's basically shown me her hand that she's not consistent and not like going at every day being prepared to address that behavior. So you have two options if you're in Irene's position, right? You're really happy with your dog. There's just like one or two things that kind of bother you. You can really tighten up your Marvin math. And what that does is takes it where you're planning your schedule. Your dog's in the crate when you're not managing them. And it's much more preventative on the problems. And when you're ready to train, you're prepared and you set up for it. Or because Libby's not having a list of behavioral problems and she doesn't like lose her mind when Irene leaves her places and she's not biting people, she's not dog fighting, she recalls, she walks on a leash, all these things are good. She just has these few things to tune up. You don't necessarily have to go with Marvin math. She could just say, okay, for the next 30 days, Irene is going to be wearing the gear and I'm going to be prepared for the doorbell to ring.
Libby's going to be wearing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to be prepared. Did I say Irene is going to be wearing it?
It's probably more effective.
I didn't mean that. So I'm going to be prepared for every instance that she reacts to a trigger. And that is, in my world, not super realistic, but it's an option. You can tighten everything up, have more kennel time, have more time on place, and set a really good plan that's going to address your problem behaviors. Or you can say, I'm doing it. Every time Libby reacts to something at the back door and every time she reacts to the doorbell, I'm going to train on her. I'm going to address the behavior. And Libby would understand that. But right now, if she only does it sometimes, Libby's like, some people I'm supposed to bark at, some people I'm not. And it's not clear. So Marvin, you can add to that.
That's what I was just saying. I don't even need to do it. You can do it all. I can go fishing.
Okay, so rapid fire. If Libby barked at people when they came in the... I'm making up scenarios now. If Libby barked at people when they came in the house or the doorbell rang and then Irene lets them in and she bites them on the ankles, can she just put the gear on and address it, or should she maybe go back to Marvin Math?
Well, she got back up some.
Go sure. back to Marvin Math. If she gets loose on the front lawn and she runs and chases the neighbor kids down the street and barks at them until they get back in their house, should she go back to Marvin Math or just put the e-collar on?
Well, she got to go way back.
Yeah. Okay. So depending on the problem behavior and if their overall mental health and state of mind is pretty good, sometimes you don't have to go all the way back to Marvin Math and have your dog in a crate for 8 hours a day. You just have to address some behaviors. But if there's other things going on and it's worse than you feel it is, they can just they have to go backwards. They have to go back to Marvin Math, right?
For sure.
Okay.
Just a warning, you're at 30 minutes.
Okay, we don't have to be right at 30 minutes. Okay. We have to go over the rest of it. So place time. Why do they have to be on place?
Well, it doesn't do a dog to, it doesn't do any good for a dog to be on place if you can't teach your dog to relax on place.
Okay. What if I can't teach my dog to relax on place?
Then you got to go back to training on them. I mean, that's the biggest thing is people don't. I mean, it hurts the human more than a dog to be on place. Or you can't walk in a room. You have to stay in a room with your dog on place. It's just not going to work. You had to set your dog up to stay on place regardless of what you're doing.
Do I have to do crate time and place time?
It helps a lot.
Why?
Yes, because the crate's where you can teach your dog to settle and put them in a crate, shut the door. For me, a dog can kind of clock out as long as they're trained to be in a crate. They don't have to be chewing on the door trying to get out and run away.
So is place them settling outside of the crate?
Is what?
Is place them settling outside of the crate?
Well, you place them anywhere to teach them to settle while they're there, but you can only do it by being consistent at it and adding things to it.
So why do I have to place them if they settle well in the crate?
Because you want them to settle well when you go somewhere else. A doorbell rings or anything.
Okay.
You should be able, if your doorbell rings, you should be able to tell your dog to go lay down somewhere and they should do it.
Okay.
And leave you alone until you get your guest in and everybody gets settled. And then you release your dog to go hang out.
If my dog will stay on a place for 3 or 4 hours at a time, do I have to use the crate?
It always helps in my world with a dog to be crate trained because of the fact that if they're in a crate and door shut, they're clocked out and they can just sleep. They don't have to be on guard duty. And some dogs will do that on place. But I think if you don't start out with crate, it makes it a lot more difficult for the average human to accomplish it.
What would be some signs that I've worked on place hard enough and long enough and consistent enough that my dog is doing well at relaxing on place? What would you look for to feel you've put in the work to get
there? The doorbell to ring, the door to open, you walk out the front door, you drop a piece of food on the floor. The kids come running by playing ball in the living room when your dog's on place.
And the dog stays?
Yes, if a dog stays and relaxes, then...
Okay. What if my dog stays on place for 4 hours, but their head never lays down?
They're not really relaxing. They're just laying there waiting to spring into action.
If I have a dog that stays on place for 4 hours, but never puts its head down, should I keep placing it?
Well, you got to figure out why he can't put his head down. Majority of the time, if a dog can't put his head down, it's because you haven't created enough things in that atmosphere for your dog to relax. Most people that want to place their dogs, they want to walk on eggshells around their dog so their dog don't get up, so their dog doesn't get in trouble.
So desensitizing them to things. Yes. What if my dog is just so obsessed with me that all they do is stare at me when they're on place?
Most time, you need to get away from your dog some.
Okay. Then hours of exercise. We talked about this a lot yesterday, so I think maybe would you say go back to chapter one's podcast, the routine?
Well, I would read them all. If I was trying to train a dog, I would go through all of them numerous times, but
and then at what point? Well, let me ask you two questions. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Is the bed, the couch, toys, and treats bad for dogs?
No, not at all. If your dog's trained, then you can control your dog.
And they have good behavior.
Yes.
What would justify the dog being allowed on the bed, the couch, having toys and treats? And do they all go together?
Well, they ask to get on there, and you let them, and you ask to leave, and they can, and they're not dragging you down on a leash trying to dogfight and bite people coming in the door.
So they're polite, and they have yes. manners, and they don't have problems. Okay. Okay, so for treats, pup cups. Should my dog get a pup cup if they bark when I pull into the coffee shop?
I wouldn't allow it, no.
Okay. If my dog resource guards toys, should they have free access to toys?
No, they should be trained not to do it, but you won't fix it by keeping the toys away from them. You've got to teach them not to resource guard stuff. But they shouldn't have toys laying all over the house to get in trouble with.
Okay. I think that's it for Marvin Math. Do you want to add anything? Oh, I want to go back to the beginning. If you have a great dog and you're happy with their overall behavior and you don't want to level up, you don't need all these things. This is for the people who want to improve behaviors, have problems they need to address, or want to set their dog a really good foundation, right?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to add anything?
Nope, I'm good.
He says these are important questions that were super pivotal for our training.
Cool.
I'm good.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.